It's Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. About 3 or 4 years ago, although I thought I knew this story, someone enlightened me as to the role of the older brother in this, and it really changed the whole meaning of the story to me. So if there's something new that comes out of either the reading or David's preaching to us today, then I pray that you will pick that up. So Luke 15, starting at verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him any. And then he thought, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went back to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come back,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he was with him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never ever disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Mike. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cough and a cold at the moment. I hope I'm going to be able to get through. I got through at 9 o'clock, so I should be able to get through here. But my name is David Williamson. I am, I've got two jobs, really, two roles. I am spiritual care lead at St. Leonard's Hospice in York. And that takes up most of my weekdays, 30 hours a week. And the rest of the time I devote to Kairos Network Church, where I work with Mark and Ben, who you probably know. I'm associate pioneer minister, and I work with them on the work that we do at Kairos. So I have quite a varied role. Also gives me opportunity to do things like this, to come and help out in vacancies and support churches who have not got clergy at the moment. So quite a varied role. I'm married to Pat. We have two children, Becky and Pete. Becky is just about to produce our first grandchild, which I'm really excited about. I know I don't look old enough, but there you go. So in November, hopefully, we're going to have a grandson or granddaughter. We don't know yet. It's all very hush-hush, but it's all very exciting. But it's great to be here. I've been a few times to 9 o'clock. It's the first time they've allowed me to preach here, so that's good too. And I want to start by saying, what do you do when you've messed up? What do you do when you've messed up? We all have times when we realize that we've done something that we shouldn't have done, or we've forgotten to do something that we should have done. When that realization hits us, that we've done something wrong, or we've left something undone, we can find ourselves feeling lost and far from home. There's that feeling that this is not right. This is not right. I'm feeling lost because of the thing I've done or the thing I haven't done. And we know from our experience that sometimes our actions can cause difficulty for others, can cause misery or make people anxious or cause them to suffer because of the actions we have done. So how do we find the right path? Who will guide us at a time like this? Who will help us to resolve our problems? The thing that often brings despair at a time like that is the feeling that we've messed up so badly this time that there are now no choices. But God, through his word, says to us, there are always choices. There are always possibilities of new beginnings, no matter how badly we've behaved or acted. There is the possibility of choosing to suffer in silence for that. And we think we have no choices. But that's not what God wants for us. God asks us to face up to what we've done, to share our troubles, and to return to him. To confess our wrongdoings. Now, we've done that already this morning. But sometimes we move into that confession automatically. It's something we're so used to doing that we do it without thinking about what we're doing. And I want us to focus a bit more on that this morning. But the message, as I said earlier, often comes through that this time we've gone too far. That this time there is no way back. But that message is a lie. Told to us so that we stop returning to God. We stop opening up our hearts to God and trusting him. The thing is, that lie needs to be put aside, and we need to recognize there is nothing that we can do that will separate us from God. But that's hard to recognize when we're going through something that we think has marred everything we've been trying to do, that has got in the way of returning to God. This morning we're looking at the story in Luke 15. This story talks about being lost and being forgiven, undeserved generosity. It talks about reckless extravagance. It talks about new beginnings and restoration. Now, to someone who's messed up, that is good news. That is really good news. There is always a possibility of a new beginning, of starting again. This story, you see, talks about what it's really like to be a child of God. A son or a daughter. It points to the generous, extravagant, loving God who welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's something that Jesus was accused of doing in this early part of the chapter. I'm a great believer in recognizing that the passages we often read should be read in context, so that they are not just stories on their own, but they are written in the context of the whole chapter or the whole book. And so in the context of this whole chapter, starts with in Luke 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear him. That's Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So this is why Jesus is telling these stories. And in the parable of the lost son, sometimes called the prodigal son, we hear the story of two sons. One who wastes his father's inheritance, and the other, the older brother, who is resentful of his father's extravagant generosity and forgiveness. And this parable is set in the context of three, what we call three lost parables. There's the parable of the lost sheep, there's the parable of the lost coin, then, as in my version of the Bible here, it says the parable of the lost son. And they're set in the context, as I say, of Luke 15, 1-3, where Jesus is accused of welcoming sinners and eating with them. Now, I find that really encouraging and interesting, that something the Pharisees and the teachers of the law meant as an accusation against Jesus is in fact true. And it is exactly what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to welcome sinners and eat with them. And that's exactly the same thing that he does with you and me. He welcomes us to come and eat with him. And later on in the service, we're going to be sharing communion together. And that is a time where we are welcomed into God's presence to eat with him. It's a really special occasion. And yet again, sometimes because we do it so repeatedly, we forget how special that is, that God is welcoming us to sit and eat with him. And we know that Jesus shows us the character and the ways of God. So what Jesus shows us here teaches us about the ways of God. So just as Jesus sat with sinners and welcomed them, so does his Father. Now, these three parables that I've mentioned examine what it means to be lost, to be missing. The other two are the lost coin and the lost sheep, as I've said. And they are messages of hope and of being found and sought out, about forgiveness, about generosity, about new beginnings. Now, the parable we're looking at is often called the parable of the prodigal son. But I want to challenge that a little bit this morning. You see, the word prodigal has two meanings. First of all, recklessly extravagant. The second is having spent everything. And that's what the son who took his inheritance did. He was recklessly extravagant with the inheritance that he received, and he spent everything. The other title that is often used is the parable of the lost son, as in my version of the Bible that I'm reading. But I want to suggest that a better title would be the parable of the lost sons, because there are two sons here, and they were both lost. One geographically, and the other lost in resentment and self-pity. But thinking further, as I was sort of working on this over the week, I thought the term prodigal is a term more appropriate for describing the father in this story. Because the father welcomes the repentant son with reckless extravagance, as he refuses to count what his son has done against him and demand repayment. And when I thought about that further, I thought, To be a child of God means to be treated in the same way. God is just as recklessly extravagant with us, with you and me, as he was with this lost son. God has also spent everything on us in order to draw us back into his presence. If you like, our God is a prodigal God, because he is recklessly extravagant and has spent everything to draw us back to him. Now, this response of the father in the story offends the older brother, and most likely offended the whole community, because no doubt they would have heard this story. Do you know what? That useless, no good for nothing son has spent all that money that his father gave him, and now he's come home and his father has welcomed him back in. Can you imagine the talk on the high street as people shared the gossip and the news that the wayward son had come home? You see, in this story, the father represents the God that Jesus knew well. Jesus is showing his hearers and us the God of great expenditure, who spends everything to get us back. God's reckless grace is our greatest hope. It is life-changing experience. We have a God who indeed welcomes sinners and eats with them. Let me ask you a simple question. Which son are you most like? Are you like the one who ran away and is wasteful with the gifts and resources that God has given you, and then comes to senses and returns? Or are you like the one who stays at home, is very dutiful and hardworking, but underneath is bitter, offended, and resentful about the good gifts that others receive? Which son are you most like? Whichever you are, I want to suggest that both need to come home and experience the Father's reckless, extravagant love and forgiveness and generosity. Come back to being a child of God, a God who is recklessly extravagant and spends everything to draw you back to him. Both sons, as I said earlier, are far from home. One geographically, the other lost in resentment and self-pity. And to both, God says, come home. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Now, in all this, there is invitation and challenge. The invitation is to return to your true identity as children of God. The challenge is to change. And both sons are called to that. And both dynamics of being invited home and being challenged to change are needed, and are needed to work together for growth as disciples of Jesus. Both those things are needed so that we grow in our Christian faith. So whether you've been reckless with what God has given you, or you're resentful because God seems to have given good things to other people and not to you, come home and receive everything that God has for you. When you come for communion today, Come and receive in a new, fresh way. Come and recognize that what is being offered, the bread and the wine, comes from an extravagant, generous God. And he spent everything in order that you might receive all that he has for you. So as I place that bread into your hand, as you drink the wine, recognize again that you are welcomed home each time you do that. And God puts his arms around you and welcomes you in as his child, his son or his daughter. Let's pray. God of forgiveness, thank you that you invite us to be your sons and daughters. Help us to let go of our stubborn ways and attend to your challenge to change. Open our hearts and our minds to receive all that you have for us. Share your wise counsel. Show us the joy and relief that comes from returning home and trusting you again. Amen.